Glory to God. Thank you, Father God, for Redeeming Love Christian Center. Thank you for every person in this building tonight. I thank you, Father God, for your plans and your purposes that will all come to pass. Thank you, Father God, that every word that you have spoken will come to pass for us individually, for us corporately, for the body of Christ as a whole, for the harvest in this earth. Thank you, Lord, for your patience for the harvest. Thank you for your patience for the harvest. Help us, Father God, to stir ourselves up to see things the way that you see them so that the harvest will be reaped. Father God, we endeavor to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. And so tonight we thank you for this service. It is set apart for your use. It is set apart for you. We have come not just to meet with one another, but we have come to have an encounter with a living, loving God. Thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. I pray every ear is listening, every heart open and receptive, every mind open in the name of Jesus, that we'll see things the way you see them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. I've heard Brother Hagin say this so many times. I heard him say that whenever you get stuck on a verse, preach your way out of it. If you ever get stuck on a verse, preach your way out of it. In other words, you've been meditating on some things and the Holy Spirit keeps bringing this verse up to you. Either preach your way out of it as a preacher, or just keep talking it. Amen. Just keep talking about it. Meditate on it. See what else God wants to say. Amen. Look here in John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Jesus said this in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you. I have yet many things to say to you. Now, he said this right before he left. Right before he left. He said, I still have so much to say to you. He goes on to say, but you cannot bear them now. So he's talking at that point. He's talking, of course, to his disciples who are not yet born again, right? Not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he said, the things that I have to say to you, you can't handle it now. Like that movie, you can't handle the truth. Right? Because truth is really spiritually received. Truth is not an academic thing. Amen. Truth must be received spiritually. Amen. Revelation doesn't come just by reading. Revelation comes by you being open in your heart to hear what you haven't heard yet before. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you. And so he's talking to his disciples who are not yet born again, not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he... Everybody say he. Not it, but he. Amen. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Everybody say speak. And he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit will guide and speak and show. Amen. He will guide us into truth. He will speak what he hears, and he will show us things to come. The Holy Spirit will. So Jesus said, if you're going to be guided into all truth, it's going to be a spiritual thing. Amen. Spiritually discerned, in other words. You don't get it by osmosis. Amen. You get it by the Holy Ghost. And you realize that all of the letters written in the New Testament were written to Spirit-filled believers. Hello. There were not different groups of people that the apostles wrote letters to apply to different cultures of people. There wasn't a group of Christians not filled with the Holy Ghost that a letter was written to. When the disciples or the apostles came to those groups of people who had not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, they said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "We don't even know about the Holy Ghost." They said, "Well, let us tell you." And then they got filled. They didn't go, "Oh, you're okay the way you are." The entire New Testament, all the epistles are written to Spirit-filled believers. Because it takes a Spirit-filled believer to get it. Small wars are fought with people who are not filled with the Holy Ghost trying to discern what these things mean. Jesus said, "I still have so much to tell you. But it won't be until the Holy Ghost comes, and then He will guide you. He will speak." Everybody say, "Speak." And He will show you. Well, if He is speaking, then someone ought to be listening. Amen. 1 Corinthians says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, but they are revealed." They are revealed. Everybody say, "They are revealed." They are revealed unto us by His Spirit. Glory to God. I hope that you get stirred up tonight about your relationship with the Holy Ghost. Your relationship with the Holy Ghost. Your relationship with the Spirit of God. How many of you know the world doesn't mind that we talk to God? But they totally freak out if we say He talks to us. Right? I mean, movies are made to mock people who think they hear from God. Comedies, you think you hear from God? You know, who do you think you are? I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I hear from God. Why? Because Jesus said I would. Jesus went on to say, you know, in another place He says, the world can't receive Him because they don't know Him, but you know Him. You know Him. You know Him. Everybody say, "I know Him." I know the Holy Ghost. John 10 says we know the voice of our shepherd. The voice. The voice. Are you getting this? He speaks and we hear His voice. Amen. And there are things that we are coming into that must be spiritually discerned. Amen. Not just mentally agreed with, but spiritually received and discerned. How many of you remember when Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven? And Elisha succeeded him. Think about these events that took place when Elijah, we won't take the time to read it because most of you know the story. We'll just recall the story. Is that all right? And so Elijah's about to be taken up by a whirlwind. And he tells Elisha, "The Lord has sent me over here. Why don't you stay here?" And you think about now the relationship that they had. And Elisha knows that every place God took Elijah, it's worth going. Amen. And so Elijah says, God's sending me here, you stay here. And Elisha's going, if God sent you there, that's where I want to be. Why would I be here if God and you are over there? So they head out on their first place. They're going to their first city. And they're on their way there. There are 50 men of the sons of the prophets in that first city they go to. And they come up to Elisha and they say, don't you know that your master's going to be taken away today? He says, yeah, I know. I mean, they're all perceiving this is happening. They're men of God. And they realize that God's doing something pretty awesome today. So Elijah says to Elisha, why don't you stay here with these guys? They seem to know what's going on. In so many words. He says, the Lord has sent me over here. So Elisha says, why would I stay with these guys if you're going over here? So they went to the next place. At the next place, more prophets, more men of God. They say, you know what's going on today? Elisha says, yep, I know it. You don't have to say a word. And Elijah says, why don't you stay here with these guys? If God's sending you somewhere else, I'm going with you. Well, each time, if you realize it, even though these men of God knew that God was doing something, they all stayed where they were. They knew God was doing something, that God was taking Elijah somewhere else, and they stayed where they were, knowing there's a move of God on. Each place, this, oh, God's doing something. We could tell, woo, we know God's doing something, and they don't go. Just because you know God's doing something doesn't mean you go. So finally, you know, they get to four different places. Finally, they get to a place and 50 more guys are there. They say the same thing to Elisha. He says, yeah, I know what's going on. And so Elijah said, now God sent me to Jordan. So they're on their way. Now these 50 guys in the last place, the Bible says they stood to view afar off. They knew something was going on. They watched from a distance. How many of you know some people like that? Don't raise your hand. They know something's happening, but I just don't know if I want to get that close. I like it where I am. I can still see what's happening, but I don't really have to be in it. So, Elijah takes his mantle, strikes the river, the waters part, and Elijah and Elisha went over across the river. And when they got to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you. What do you want? What do you want? And the Holy Spirit is asking us all that very same thing. What do you want? What do you really want? You really believe there's something happening? Well, what do you want out of it? People say all the time, well, I just want what God wants. Really? Because he's asking you, what do you want? What do you want? You know, sometimes we, even in our giving, you know, thank God for Spirit-led giving. Amen. When the Holy Spirit puts a number in your heart, you know, to give, he prompts you to give. But you know, there's another place the Bible says, whatever a man purposes in his heart, let him give. Amen. How many of you remember Pastor Tim Rogers? He's been here from Mexico. Brother Tim's a good friend of ours, and he was at Rhema at the camp meeting several years ago and was invited to get up and receive an offering, I think, for Rhema Day there at camp meeting. And he said, you know, getting ready for camp meeting, he was in his heart, he was, you know, saying, we want to give a special offering from the church, from the ministry there. And he kept saying, Lord, what do you want us to give? Lord, what do you want us to give? Lord, what do you want? I just need a number. Lord, what do you want us to give? What do you want us to give? And he said, the Holy Spirit said, what do you want to give? What do you want to give? As a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. Amen. There's a lot of things. Yes, we're led by the Spirit of God. And when he leads us, we yield to that leading. Amen. We obey, we yield, whatever you want to say it is. We concur. We say, yes, Lord. Amen. But if he doesn't say something, oftentimes you do what you want to do. Amen. How many of you know the Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you what? The desires of your heart. Of course, you can look at that two different ways. One way that He puts desires in you. He will give you desires in your heart. And the other way you can look at it is He grants the desires that you have in your heart. Amen? He grants the desires you have in your heart. So many people are waiting for God to say something when all along we really could just be moving on the desire in our heart. And moving in that direction unless God says something differently. Amen? We live in Birmingham, Alabama. We lived in Tulsa for many years when we worked with Brother Hagin's ministry. But I'll tell you the truth, Tulsa, Oklahoma is filled with Bible school graduates waiting for God to tell them something. When Mark 16 said, go, go into all the world, they're waiting to be discovered or something, I don't know. Waiting for a leading. Where do I go? Just go. Is there some place in your heart you feel a connection with? Go there. Unless God says, no, move. Amen. How many of you drive a car? You know, when you approach an intersection, when you approach an intersection with a traffic light, how do you approach that intersection? Don't you pretty much assume it's going to be green? Amen. We drive with the thought that every light's green unless it's not. Right? You don't go up to every intersection and go, I don't know. It might change. We better approach it slowly. That's what the yellow's for. It tells you something's coming. If there's no yellow, if there's no red, it's go. It's go. That's how we live our lives. We go. We go on the desire of our heart, what God put on the inside of us, or just what's in our heart, what there's a big desire for. If it's according to the Word, do I have to say that part? If it is in line with the Word of God, amen. And it's not like I just desire that person's husband. No, that's not what we're talking about. Amen. But I think we're talking to the right people tonight. You know where I'm going with this, right? So we're driving, we're going on go. If the Holy Spirit says something different, slow down or turn, we follow. Amen. But notice it said He will guide you into all truth. A guide goes before and you go after. Amen. He knows where He's going. We've been here in the area for a couple of weeks. Actually, we were in Pennsylvania and in New York here, and we've done some different services, and we had a weekend of meetings in Long Island City, and we were staying in White Plains. Well, we have a GPS in our car. And the GPS didn't take us the same way three times. I mean, each time it was a different way. Even on our way back to church this evening, the GPS took us a different way. We're like, oh, that's interesting. But it's because there was traffic. There was traffic where we would have gone. And that satellite, you know, is in contact with that GPS thing, and it can see way farther than we can see. And so if we'll just follow, we'll get where we need to go when we need to go there. But if we're stubborn and just go, well, we went this way last night, let's just go this way. You might get stuck. So there is a combination of cooperation with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's always a cooperation with the Holy Ghost. God created us for fellowship with Him. Amen. He did not create humans that He could just order around. He desires cooperation and fellowship, and that's why he gave us a will. Amen. But religion, listen, religion takes it out of that relationship. Religion goes back to God being the puppet master, and we have no clue how he does or why he does anything he does. We're just stuck with what he does. That's religion. That God pulls all the strings and we've got no choice in the matter, no desires in the matter. Amen. It takes the relationship out of the mix. That's religion. But God created us. He didn't make us like angels. He made people so he could do something with us, not just to us. And so this being led by the Spirit is a vital place and a vital position as a born-again believer. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can expect to be led by the Holy Ghost. Yes, amen. Why? He will guide, he will speak, and he will show. So back to Elijah and Elisha. They get back on the other side and Elijah says, what do you want? Here we are. What do you want? He's getting ready to leave and he says, what do you want? Elisha is bold enough to say, I want double what's on you. Double what's on you. Everybody say double.
Double.
Do you realize how daring that is? Most of us, this is the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. Most of us would settle for half of what's on the people we respect. If I just had half of what they had. My, my, my. Glory to God. But Elisha said, I want double what's on you. So Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Now hard in what way? Not hard for God to grant. Nothing's impossible with God. Amen. When he said you've asked a hard thing, he didn't say it's difficult for God to give you this. Or no, he said you have asked for a tremendous responsibility. That's what he meant by you've asked a hard thing. You have asked for a tremendous responsibility. Elisha knew what was on Elijah. He watched him. He served him. He knew what it took to do what he did. He knew the sacrifice. He knew the time. He knew the persecution. Amen. He knew what it would take to believe God. And yet he still asked for twice. Twice. And he said this. You've asked for a tremendous responsibility. He said, but I'll tell you what. If you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be so. But if not, it won't be so. Now, is this just a riddle? Or is this something spiritual? I believe, this is what I believe, and I believe we can prove it here by Scripture. I believe when Elijah said, if you see me, when I taken from you, he meant if you see it in the spirit, not just if you see it with your physical eyes, but if you see it in the spirit, it'll be so. In other words, if you want double what's on me, it's got to be by the spirit. It will not be your physical eyes that help you do anything. Amen. Because what we see with our physical eyes has the ability to move us. But when you see it in here, you will not be moved. You'll not be moved. If you get it in here, then you got something to stand on. But if it's just what you see out here things change. And so when Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be so. But if you don't see me, it'll not be so. All of a sudden, while they're still talking, a whirlwind comes and parts them. And all of a sudden, Elisha says, book report. I see chariots. I see horses. My God, the chariots and the horses. Elijah, this is what I see. I see it. And the mantle fell on the ground. And Elisha immediately picked it up. He didn't go, oh, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything different. I thought he said, if I see it, something would happen. I would feel something. Something would, well, I would, I don't feel anything. Nothing's changed. But he picked up that mantle. I said he picked up that mantle that was on the ground, always meant for him. It was always meant for him. When Elijah was at that cave and the Lord spoke to him by a still small voice. Remember that? After the prophets of Baal and all that. And the Lord spoke to Elijah with a still small voice. And he said, get up from here. And he said, go anoint Elisha to be prophet in your room, in your place. And when he got up and Elisha was plowing with those oxen, that's when the mantle came on him. That's when the mantle came on him, when he was plowing, not when he was preaching. Are you getting this?
Yes.
The mantle came when he was plowing, not when he was preaching. And then when Elijah went up, that mantle fell on the ground and Elisha had to say, that's mine. That belongs to me. It was his. Now it's mine. And he picked it up immediately. And he went to the river and he said, where now is the God of Elijah? Smote the waters. The waters parted like they always had. And he said, now this anointing is mine. It's mine. Because he saw in the Spirit. Now, the reason I say we can prove this by Scripture is, just after that, remember the 50 guys watching from a distance? They were watching. All of a sudden, there were two, and then there was one. And they came to Elisha and said, do you want us to go look for him? Do you want us to go look for Elijah? We don't know where he went. Why? They didn't see him go. They were watching, but they didn't see him go. So they said, you want us to go look for him? Elisha said, you don't have to go look for him. And they said, please let us go. Maybe God put him somewhere and we don't know where he is. I mean, they knew God did something, but they didn't see anything. They said, you want us to go for it? They kept saying, please, please. Elisha said, fine, go if you want to. Came back 3 days later, said, we can't find him. He said, I know. I saw him. I know exactly where he went. But the same thing is true today. Things of God are spiritually discerned. But if you have bought the lie, I said, if you have bought the lie, if you have listened to the lie from the devil that you cannot hear from God clearly, you will not fulfill your destiny in its fullest potential. Amen. And God wants each and every one of us to fulfill our divine destiny to its fullest potential. But we must hear from God. And when I say hear, and I'm pointing, you know, here, and I, you know, representing my spirit, not hear with my ears, but hear with my spirit. The Spirit is the real you. It has ears. It has eyes. Amen. It has a voice. Glory to God. And it is not weird to hear from God. I said it's not weird to hear from God. How many of you believe that there are things that God wants to show us in these days we've never seen before? Things we've never seen before. I think about even technology. There are things in technology we're seeing now we could never have seen 20 years ago. We've got telescopes now that have been developed to see things farther away than we've ever seen them before. Amen. Microscopes to see the things that are the smallest that we've ever seen. They're still finding things even smaller than they thought the smallest thing was. It's always been there, but never revealed. It takes different technology to reveal things that have been here all along. And there are things that God has hidden for a special time. Not hidden as far as to try to keep them from us, but hidden for the right time. Amen. And you don't think technology is going to outdo God. Amen. Technology is not going to outdo God. We're going to see further into space, and we're going to see smaller things than we've ever seen before, but that's just in the physical realm. Are you kidding me? Jesus said, I still have many things. Everybody say many things. Many things to say to you. But they have to be spiritually discerned. So how do we hear from God? Too many of us are going around going, I think I'm getting an impression maybe God might want me to do something. And we don't press in to Him to find out what that is. We might be like those sons of the prophets that viewed from a distance. We just go, I know God's doing something. Let's hide out and watch and see what happens. Or are we going to be like Elisha and go, I want everything. But how do we hear from God? If the Holy Spirit speaks, how do we hear? Because too many times I think we're trying to hear with these ears. Amen. Trying to hear with these ears, and people get really weird. They get really, flaky. Trying to hear voices. Trying to hear from God, or looking for a sign. God, show me something out here, and the whole fleece thing. And that's not how He moves. He moves with a still, small voice. Amen? He speaks. If He's speaking, we should be hearing.
Yes.
Amen. But here's the thing. Can we make it easy for you? Amen? How many of you like it easy? I like to watch how-to shows on television. I like, HGTV. I like all that stuff, how you do stuff. Now, I haven't done half of it, but I like watching it. I'm convinced I know how to do it, even if I haven't done it. You know what I mean? We all think we know more than we do. I feel like I know how to tile. I've never done it. And probably if I actually did do it the first time, it wouldn't be pretty. It'd be there, but it wouldn't be pretty. it takes doing over and over again to get good at anything. Amen. It takes practice. It takes doing to get good at anything. And people who do it well are because they've learned the ins and outs and the finesses and, the things that make it look nice. And so sometimes I think when it comes to hearing from God, We were a little sloppy at first. We were a little inexperienced at first. And so some people just give up because they think, I don't do it right. I hear other people saying God talks to them and they get all this awesome stuff. You know, when the Lord first started using me with words of knowledge and healings and things, it'd be like, somebody has a headache. You know, just general, you know. Some of you are familiar with Mary Frances Varallo. She's been here. Sister Mary Fran, she's a dear, dear sister in the Lord. And you know, I would joke in my own heart, I'm like, I would get somebody has a headache when I was first starting out. And Mary Fran would get, you were on your way to the store to get a loaf of bread. And, you know, you were in this kind of car with these kind of tires and, you know, and on your way back, you bumped your head on the car door. Now you have a headache. You know, it would be like that. That's somebody who's been laying tile for quite a while. They're good at it. All the lines are just right. You know, it's pretty. There's no goop on the walls. Some of us, you know, we start off and we're like, are you here? Yeah. But God wants it to be easy. Yeah. We're His children. We know His voice. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so think about it. Even in regular language, just among ourselves, we think in images. We think in pictures. Right? If I say dog, you see a dog. But we're not all seeing the same dog, are we? You might own a dog, and so that's the dog you're thinking of. But how many species of dogs are there? And then mix that all up too. It could be anything. Unless I describe the dog in further detail, we will not all see the same picture. Right? But was it weird when I said dog, you immediately got a picture of it? That's not weird. That's normal. Right? I say a word, you get a picture. I say, after the service, Kevin and myself will be out in the foyer for a few minutes, shaking hands with people. We'd love to greet you. You have an image now. You didn't have to go, okay, what does that mean? They're going to walk up. Okay, how do they do that again? I just feel like they're going to do something after the service. What is it? All I had to say was, we'll be in the foyer. You immediately assume we're going to walk out of here, get there somehow, and that's where you'll shake our hand. Right? That's not weird. I said a phrase, you get a picture. Right? That's normal. That's normal. We hear words, we see pictures. We hear words, we see pictures. We hear words, we see pictures. This is how it works. When we go to different countries, I like to watch television. I like to have the TV on, probably a little too much, but anyway, I turn the TV on. Even when we're in other countries, I turn the TV on, even if I can't understand the words. I see the picture. I make up my own story. Probably get pretty close most of the time. You know, and a lot of times there's American television on in other countries. They just dub in another language, so you kind of get the gist of it anyway, you know. Because it's American comedy, so, you know, you get it. But nevertheless, the picture gives me a story. Amen. How could it be any different when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? You get a little picture. Now, again, it's not picture with these eyes. Amen. People think, did you have a vision? No, just got a picture. Just got an image. Same way I got an image of when I said, we'll be in the hallway or we'll be in the foyer. I didn't have to go, I can't see it. I just can't see it. I can't see it. God, show me, show me. There's an image in there. You see how ordinary that is? Are you getting it? It's so ordinary. G- Jesus said, I have so many things to tell you, but because it's so ordinary, we pass it off as thinking, maybe I made that up. Or we know he's trying to tell us something. He gets your attention. Now pay attention. And one of the ways to clarify these things is to pray in other tongues. Because remember, spiritually discerned. Listen, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. Amen. You just need to be saved. Just born again. Meaning you have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says you'll be saved. Amen. So you don't have to be that next experience of being filled with the Spirit or being baptized with the Holy Spirit with that evidence of speaking in other tongues. You don't have to do that to go to heaven. But if you plan on living on the earth for any length of time, I highly recommend being baptized with the Holy Ghost, because Jesus sent him here to the earth for us to live on the earth with him. He is now God on the earth as much as Jesus was in the flesh on the earth. Amen. So if you want to live with any great level of victory on this earth, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so when we pray in the Spirit, a lot of different things happen. There are many, 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 and you know this, benefits to speaking with other tongues. Amen. Why don't you look with me? I've done a lot of talking without going to Scripture. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and don't you know that's true? And none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now he's talking in this particular portion of Scripture about the public manifestation of the Holy Spirit with speaking with other tongues. But you can take some of these principles in the same way in the private area of speaking with other tongues just for yourself and your own edification. Because if I do not understand the meaning of the voice, I am a barbarian to the Holy Ghost that speaks. And he is a barbarian unto me if I don't get it. Amen. So if I'm praying in other tongues, see, so many times we know the Bible says, when you pray in an unknown tongue, you speak not unto men, verse 2, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So when we pray in tongues, and it goes on to say in the 14th chapter, that when we pray in other tongues, our mind is what? Unfruitful. Because it's not a mental exercise, is it? It's a spiritual, again, spirit to spirit. God is a spirit, John chapter 4 says. They that worship him or contact him or communicate with him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's not just words that communicate with God. It's words from your heart, words from your spirit. And so when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays, but your mind is unfruitful. Therefore, many times we've decided that our minds just don't need to pay attention. If my mind is unfruitful, it doesn't matter what my mind thinks. That's where most people are. They pray in other tongues. And this is why most people don't pray in other tongues as much as they ought to, because they don't get anything out of it. Because they don't realize the benefit. When you're praying in other tongues, the Spirit is the one giving the utterance. How many of you remember when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost? You began to speak with other tongues. Amen. You know, when we get in this building, so many things flood back to us. Kevin in particular was talking about how in the fellowship hall, the Kenneth E. Hagin Fellowship Hall back there, when we were here with Brother Hagin's ministry, that was the prayer room. When people would come to answer the altar call and to be saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit, Kevin would take them back there and help them get filled with the Holy Ghost and lay hands on them. And he was in charge of the prayer room and led it for many years while we worked with Brother Hagin. And so he's got lots of great memories of laying hands on people to get filled with the Holy Spirit right here in this building. And one of the greatest times whenever, if you're with someone who's receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you remember when you got filled, remember when it dawned on you that you began to speak with other tongues and you were not making it up. When it dawned on you, oh my, this is a spiritual reality. This is an experience, an encounter with God. This is not me. This is God. I can't do this by myself. Amen. Amen. Well, now after having done it for maybe several years, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost now for almost 40 years. 50 years. No, 40 years. I'm not that old. 40 years. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I was filled with the Holy Ghost as a young child, but I'm 51 now. And so I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for at least 40 years. Get out of that one. But I remember it like it was yesterday, when that first time when I realized that's God. Now I've been doing it a long time, like now I'm good at laying tile in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know, it's just not as spectacular as it was the first time, but it's still every bit as supernatural. Every bit as supernatural. It's still not you. I said, it's still not you. Every time you pray in other tongues, it is the Holy Ghost cooperating with you and helping you to pray things you don't even know what you're praying. Your mind is unfruitful in the fact that it doesn't know yet. Yes. Yet. Yes. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them, but they are revealed by His Spirit in the inner man. When we pray in other tongues, though your mind doesn't understand it because it doesn't come from your mind, you are still a spirit, a soul, and a body attached right now. Amen. In other words, your spirit's not going somewhere without you, without your body. And your body's not going somewhere without your spirit. Amen. You're all intact right now. So your mind is still active when you're praying in other tongues. And if you will pay attention, even though your mind's not making it up, it's not originating from your mind, if you will allow your mind to pay attention, you will see images. You'll get images. I said you'll get images. Why do I say that? Because that's what words produce. Are we looking for some outward experience? No, 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 no. Jesus said. A matter of fact, look with me to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Woo. Are you getting something? I'm stirred. Hallelujah. I better unstir here in just a minute. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is speaking. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, most of the time when we talk about this, we're talking about heaven. Most of the time we talk about heaven. But he just said, in my Father's house are many mansions. It literally means many rooms, many places in God. Many places in God. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And look at what verse 6 says. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. Are we seeking experiences of hearing voices and seeing visions? No, we are seeking Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who said, I have many things to say. I'm not just going, okay, God, I'm open to everything. No, I'm saying, Jesus, you have many things to say to me. And I know you are the way. And so I seek you. I'm just fellowshipping with you, Jesus. I lift my voice and I pray in the Spirit, and Jesus, by the Holy Ghost within me, talks. Too many times when we pray, we do all the talking. We do all the talking. It'd be like if you're going through something, you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor and you tell him all your stuff and then you leave. You're the expert. I'll just leave it with you. See, we try to do that, cast our cares on the Lord. You know, I'll just leave it with you. We walk away. Well, I have things to say. I want to talk to you about this. Don't just dump and leave. He said, I want to talk to you about it. You care my opinion? You want to know what I think about it? Or do you just want to give it to me and walk away? And then you still don't have any advice. You don't have any comfort. We say, well, I've cast my care. He's got it. I don't have it. Well, he might want to talk to you about it. Amen. So I'm not seeking an experience. I'm seeking Jesus. Are you getting this? See, we back off sometimes of these subjects because we don't want people to get weird and just try to have some woo-woo out of body something or strangeness. No, we're seeking Jesus because he's the way. He said, I'm the way. And he has many things to say. So we talk to him and then he talks back. And one of the ways he does that is when we pray in other tongues. And when we pray in other tongues, images, if we'll pay attention, images come. And if you think about it, the times that you have given yourself to prayer and you have allowed yourself some time quietly to pray, amen, you know that you have an impression or a knowing, amen. While you're praying in other tongues, you get a picture of something. You think of something. Amen. I'll get a picture of something. When I pray in tongues, I'll get a picture of something. And I'll just ask the Lord, what is that? You start to show me something. What is that? Oh, that's what that is. I couldn't explain it to you if I tried. It's like a dream. You know, when you try to tell somebody your dream. I was in my old high school. And all of a sudden I was in, you know, the Empire State Building. You know, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But in the spirit, sometimes the things are like you get images. You just get a flash of something sometimes. You get an image of something. You press in a little further, he'll tell you a little bit more. Amen. Here's a really cool thing. You don't think God will be outdone by technology, right? How many of you are familiar with ultrasound? Most ladies who have been pregnant in this day and age get an ultrasound. And isn't it this amazing thing that a medical instrument with sound can show a picture? Sound creates a picture. There's these little crystals in this thing, and when they're energized, or the electricity goes into them, this is my real technical application of this, what's happening. It bounces back, you know, the sound bounces back through tissue and can show the density, and then there's a picture. How awesome is that? Yeah. You think about, we couldn't see babies before they were born. Now it's normal. It's so normal, isn't it? But here's the thing. When somebody shows you the ultrasound picture of their baby, you can't see it. If it's the truth, you're going, now, what is that? Where's the what? Oh, no, they're doing this. What? I don't get that at all. I don't see it at all. It's because it's not yours. It's not yours. The mom's going, oh yeah, I can see it. Oh, absolutely. It looks just like me. You're kidding, right? This doesn't look human. What do you mean it looks like you? This isn't anything. This is why when you get an image on the inside of you, don't tell anybody. You don't need to share it. Just keep it to yourself, mama. Nobody else needs to see that. They don't get it. It's for you. It's for you. Amen. You try to explain it to somebody else and it just doesn't sound. And then you go, see, I probably didn't even hear from God. But I knew something. It's your picture. It's your image. So when we pray in tongues, that sound creates an image on the inside. There are things God is endeavoring to show the body of Christ. But he's not going to force us. He invites us. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Are we seeking a spiritual experience? No, we're seeking Jesus. But Jesus is a spiritual experience. Amen. Oh, how he longs to communicate on a deeper level with you. Individually. Kevin said it last night, this morning, it's not a mystery that God wants us blessed. What is a mystery is how is he going to get it to us this time? And too many of us will just remain mystified instead of just pressing in just a little deeper. Jesus, you have many things to say to me. I expect you to say them. You know, Jesus spoke to the masses in parables. He spoke to the masses, you know, the big groups of people in real general terms. But it wasn't until he was alone with his disciples and they began to ask him questions about what he said that we get his most profound ministry. When Jesus spoke of the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, he talks about all these types of ground and all this happens. The seed falls here and the seed falls there. And then the disciples get alone with him and go, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And Jesus said, well, the sower sows the word. Oh, so it's not about farming. And now there's some more illumination. Why? They asked a question. And because they asked a question, then Jesus answered. Again, we're back to everything with God is a cooperation of God and man. He'll give you a little tidbit, but then he'll wait for you to ask him a question. Playing chess, it's your move. We want God to make all the moves. But he's going, I'll say this. What do you want? What do you want? It wasn't until Moses, when that burning bush appeared before him, it wasn't until he turned aside to see what it was that God spoke. Amen. He said, well, that's interesting. What is that? God said, I'm glad you asked. It's me. And I would really love to talk to you. Elijah was out at that cave. Earthquake, fire, wind, not God. But then a still, small voice that if we'll pay attention, we'll hear. God shouldn't have to shout at us. All he needs to do is whisper. And if we will stay within whispering distance, we'll always hear him. Amen. So we'll always hear him. I want to always hear him. There are things that God is doing in this house that it will take a group of people spiritually receptive to really get what God is doing. Amen. If we try just to perceive with our natural eyes and our natural ears and be bombarded with what's going on in the economy and in the political realm and all that kind of stuff to run our lives, we will miss the greater depths that God has always prepared for this house. It's time. Amen. Yes. I said, it's time for us to stand up and get that mantle that was put on us however long ago it was for you, whenever it was for you, that you hooked up with this church. There was a mantle put on you while you were plowing. That it's time now to pick up and say, where now is the God of Elijah? And listen in your heart for the next things that God will have you to do. It may just be to pray. Just increase the prayer. Increase the support for what God is building. Amen. We heard a wonderful prophecy given to this church from Kenneth Copeland that said, just now the foundation is where it needs to be, had to be so deep for what will be built on top. Amen. And just like Gideon's army, get rid of this group, get rid of that group, get rid of this group. God's going, now I can do something. I can build on this. I can build on this. But it'll take all of us being an Elisha. All of us being in Elisha, not being the other sons of the prophets, just watching from a distance. We are all sons of God. And God is asking tonight, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want to see? What do you want to see? Matthew chapter 6 says, take no thought for your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll put on. Isn't everything more than that? He said, your Father knows you have need of all these things. So when I say, what do you want? It shouldn't be, I want more clothes. I want another car. I want another house. I need money. I need this. I need that. The Bible goes on to say, this is what the Gentiles think about. Yeah. Another translation says, these are the kinds of things that people who don't know God keep thinking about and saying. So when I say, what do you want? I'm not saying, do you want a new suit? Do you want a new pair of shoes? I'm saying, what do you want? What do you want in this house? What kind of move of God do you want to be a part of? What kind of harvest do you want reaped? That's seeking first the kingdom. And he said, when you seek first the kingdom of God, then all those other things will be added unto you. This is a group of Elishas. This is a house full of people who know God. And God is ready if you are. He is ready if you are. The Old Testament, they rebuilt the temple. The prophet said, "Who now is here among you that saw this place in its first glory?" He said, "But I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet." That was just the first. But you know, in John chapter 2, the governor of the feast came and said, every man usually puts his best stuff out at the beginning. And then when people are, you know, well drunk, they put out the cheap stuff. But you have saved the good wine until now. The good wine is yet to be experienced. We had some that was already really good. Already really good. But the miracle is that it's getting even better. Even better. But God is asking, what do you want? I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. Everything, anything he can think of to use me, I want it. Whether it's riding a motorcycle or preaching to thousands, laying hands on the sick or talking to a person on an airplane, I want it all. I want what he wants. Our hands and our voices right now. Give God something to work with right where you're seated. Izo manje de de che so moste de de na io sombra njaga stivra banche ede sindo pro da bashe yes sombro to go ste de de stenza o la tin jan canso sopra ben grandai tu stensi page il gro vesita no jingata prossa monde ribes e costi Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I know I'm mostly addressing Christians tonight, but if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, and you're here, we've been talking about this relationship with God, this close, personal contact. But the first thing is to be born again. To call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Is there anyone here, you've never made that decision and it is your decision to make? Not your parents, not your upbringing, not your culture, but your decision. Is there anyone here, by the uplifted hand, you'd say, pray for me, I want to know Jesus as my Lord tonight. Anybody here? You want to know Jesus this way. Anybody here? Maybe you're here tonight, you already know Jesus, you know you're born again, but you've never yet been filled with the Holy Spirit with that evidence of speaking with other tongues. Let me see your hand tonight. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you would like to, anybody in this place tonight? Hallelujah. We don't want to leave you out. There's an anointing to get you filled. Praise God. Moving on in your experience with God. Anybody here? Not seeing any hands? All right, then let's lift up our voice once again. Now, one second. Wait a minute. Before you do, let me just encourage you, and we'll turn this back over to the pastors. When you pray in other tongues, remember, it's a language. It's a language. Amen? Press in a little deeper. A little deeper. If you find yourself just going, you don't talk like that. Amen? If you talk to somebody like that, they think you are rude. No. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and there will be ups and downs, inflections and emotion. And I'm telling you, then you're on a ride. Now you're on a ride, and now you'll pay more attention to what the image is that you're getting on the inside. But if you're just going, you know, da 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 da, you know, just press into Him a little bit more. Just press into Jesus a little bit more and talk to Jesus. Don't just talk to the air. Amen. Let's lift up our voices one more time. Rafa sembrangungre besile gendeshe. Ola ramarabaka sombrodorebekese. Enzo roboko shelegere masarbo sombrodoko sebeshende. Ivera la glando sombra jededese. Lengite brastumbo sevejananga. Basti fessi min de che te desso, langhe sombra, vangendesho, ora manglazite, manta, vorre, begesina. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise His holy name, praise His name, praise His name, praise His name. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now, you might think we didn't get much done in that short period of time. I would invite you to come on Friday nights when everybody comes to pray. I would invite you to participate in prayer time when everyone can come together corporately and pray. Amen. You might think, well, we didn't get much done, but think about how many people are here if that was just one person praying in tongues. Something's just got done just then. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm hesitant in one second. Do you have something, Kevin? I'm hesitant in one second, only from the standpoint of my honor for this house, for Pastor Sarah, Pastor Clinton, Pastor Greg, and Pastor Ed. I'm hesitant in the sense that we don't have a long-standing intimate relationship with this church, but we do have a long-standing relationship with this church. But God's done some things over even just the past few days. He's just done something. It's one of those things you just know. Amen. And so I, out of very high respect for your pastors, for this house, I hesitate in one sense to prophesy or say anything, because it's kind of like, well, who do you think you are? But I know the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And just ever so sweetly, and just putting it out before you, and you already know this because everything we've talked about has been confirmation of what you already know in your spirit. You know, we've just had great fellowship and conversation, but when I was ministering a little while ago and how Elisha was bold enough to ask for double, there was something on that. Amen. I said, there was something on that. Glory to God. And it would not be wrong, and it would not be out of line to ask for double.
So you see, Prabosuni Bakasu te mase te koprosini. Yosi karabusuta mandotute batose. So come brosete, yo korobose and darabusikete. Yo come brosete, yo come brosete kakadurishite. So robarambate zikarapa and yosakarabo.
So yes, it is confirmation to you, because you know that it's been all right to ask. You know that it's okay to ask for that. You know it's all right to walk in it. But this night, says the Lord, it's all right to tell the people you're asking for it. This night, it's all right to tell the people what's going on. This night, it's all right that they know that you know and I know what's going on. Hallelujah. So it is confirmation from the standpoint of you know that there is nothing impossible and nothing is too big to ask for. But now, for the people's sake, that they know that to move forward, each and every one should ask for more than they have. And they'll follow the example that they see set before them. For there will be a great increase in anointing, in revelation, in authority, in leadership, in unction, and in finances. And you will see that it will be double. Hallelujah.
So not only you, Prabhasikita, but all the Prashiki Vrabuduse, for they'll see Kaponduse, it will Prabhasi, Ikatduse, Nande, Dikasuta. So Vrovasikita, no Drabakasi. No Prabhasita, no more Sakavrabosa, no more Kavrasa Temos. Babakasite, and Yofravase, and Vilprasoto.
And not only will it come on you, but those who follow and those who are in leadership, who carry out the things that are delegated to them, they will begin to walk in a greater anointing as well. And if they desire, it'll be double what they had before. And they will follow because they will see the example set before them, and they will say, I can follow that. I can follow that. I can do that because I've seen it done, and I will do it also. And then the rest of the people will join and say, wait a minute, I don't want to do without that. I'm not going to do without that. I'm going to have double. And then you'll begin to see an exponential growth in people, in their walk, in their spiritual lives. You'll see a growth come further and further. And that foundation that has been laid, you'll begin to see the first floor, and then the second floor, and then the third floor, and then the fourth floor. And soon it will be like the skyscrapers you see all around you, the move of God in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Is that it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ropo koste mrese.
Gentlemen, can we lay hands on you? Both of you. Would you just stand right here? Now, I want us to do something that Annie understands this. I believe you all will understand this and get this. But it's a kind of a very unusual thing to explain. And it's really hard to explain it in a way where everyone would understand it. But there's been on very, very few and rare occasions, we have sensed that in laying on of hands, we were to minister something, but it was nothing to do with us. As strangely as it may sound, it's as though Brother Hagin was here. And so this is one of those nights. There's that anointing that comes by the ranking and the association. And that's available here tonight. And so this is going to bring that empowerment, because this is a grace.
That's right.
This is not an ability in any sense of the word. And you all know in the natural, this is all Him, all grace, all empowerment, all anointing, all God, all mantle, all those things. And I know you get that. And so prasiki braba. Sukurabo sukurabasiketa, surabate mene sikita, ha 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 ha
Impart the prosukurete take brosukuta. Ha sukuna manda kamanaposi kamanamosukute masikita brosuta. Manamosikita masukute. Ah, sura mama makas sukurabate kisa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand to your feet and lift your hands. Brosukurabate. Supramamana, there is an anointing to receive right now. There's an anointing to receive that which you need. Father God, we perceive and we receive. We perceive what the Spirit is saying. We receive what the Holy Ghost is doing. And we enter in. We receive. Say, I receive right now. Say, I receive a new anointing for a new harvest. A new anointing comes on me now. Receive it. Ha 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 ha! Zora, receive! Be blessed! Be blessed! Be blessed! Be blessed! Ha ha ha! Zora vama vasa. We receive, Lord. We receive, Lord. We're not like those that don't believe. We receive right now a new anointing for a new harvest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Stood right there and I said, Father, double portion. And immediately, you know, guilt tries to come and say, you're just trying to puff yourself up. Well, he can't say anything that caused me to believe that. But what he said to me, he said, didn't I say that the foundation took so long because of what it was going to have to hold? And I'm like, yes, sir, that's what you said. He said, well, what's going to be built upon it is going to be much greater than it was, so it's going to require, but he said something that, you know, can send chills. He said, it's going to require at least double. That's what he said, at least double. To accomplish what he is going to accomplish here. And I also pray, even though I always do, I said it again tonight, for every member of the congregation, the same thing. And I add all our children and grandchildren. I add all that to it. That they're all on the same plane. Because since we're getting double, we're going to be giving double, which means you're going to have to receive double. At least double, because God said He is building the ministry house, and we know it's going to be at least four stories. At least four stories. We were talking today because we're looking, you know, we're speaking because God said branch out, but he reminded us that he told us to branch out to the left and to the right. We'd only been looking in one direction. And so now we're looking to the left and to the right. And we're not thinking, we don't need this space now, because it ain't about now. We don't know what his plan, he hasn't told us, this is my plan, in so many words. And he doesn't have to. He gives us little glimpses and waits for us to act on what he has given us already. And then while we're doing that, he'll tell us the next step. Kind of like Garmina, or any other navigation. You'll go, and then as you're going and you're approaching the next move, it'll tell you. It'll tell you. 500 feet, make a left. And you make the left. And as you're going, as you're approaching the next juncture, he'll tell you, now go this direction. All you have to do is listen to the instructions. That's all you have to do. For it, just listen to his instructions. And it gives them clearly, they're plainly, they're easily understood. You just have to follow them. That's our part. We keep looking at what works do we have to do. There's really only one work. When you put it all down to its lowest common denominator, there's really only one work God is looking for. Obedience. That's it. He talks, we respond based on what he has spoken. Now, let me tell you this, because this is dropped in. It's fine. Ask your double portion. But when you get it, you have to act like you got it. You have to act like you got it. You don't get a double portion and then start wondering, does this word work? You get the double portion and you go. It's like afterburners. The double portion is that, it's like that vehicle, was it that little vehicle we saw when we were going to eat yesterday? The little Cobra, where you hit the, and man, that thing just goes. You don't get a double portion and continue with business as usual. You don't even desire a double portion and consider business as usual. And you don't ask for a double portion if it's only going to be business as usual. You want a double portion? Start doing double portion work. Start expressing double portion type faith. Start believing like you have double portion, and the next thing you know, you'll be walking in double portion. And don't get comfortable with it, because he said at least double portion. So I we've received everything that you've shared. We are so grateful to God that we were smart enough to listen and have you come at this time. And at first it bothered us that we missed the first time because we were talking about earlier in the year. But it was for this time because some things have transpired. There were some things the Holy Ghost has told both of us that came out in messages here. Because, I mean, in order for it to be confirmed, it has to first be spoken. And so the time was for us to speak the things that He's placed on our heart to the people and then have you come and confirm it. And just confirm it. See, we didn't put a fleece out. We didn't say, all right, we're going to teach it, Lord, but then you're going to have to show us that we were on the right track. No, the truth that we knew it was Him was all the evidence that we needed to know that this was what He wanted said. And then God said, bring these people in and let them do what I've told them to do. And that's why we say, do what God told you to do. We're not big on protocol, if you will. You know, if he only gave you 15 minutes, then it's 15 minutes of what God wanted. If He gave you 2 hours and 15 minutes, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. But the way we are here, if the Holy Ghost, if the people have to leave before the Holy Ghost is finished, that's okay. They'll leave, they'll get the CD and get the part they missed. But we're not leaving until we've gotten every drop from God. Period. Period. I know you're cool, but do you want... Praise the Lord. Thank you so much.